CSREES, the Cooperative State Research, Education, and Extension Service. That's who we are. And we are a part, rah, rah, we are a part of the U.S. Department of Agriculture. We're a part of, we are, and within USDA, USDA is organized into what we call mission areas. And we are a part of the research, education, and economics mission area, which also includes ARS, the Agricultural Research Service, ERS, the Economic Research Service, and NAS, the National Ag Statistics Service. So four agencies make up the REE mission area, and CSREES has a very specific role. Our mission is to advance knowledge for agriculture, the environment, human health, and well-being, and communities. Now, we do that through supporting research, education, and extension. We don't conduct research, as our sister agency ARS does, but we support research as well as education and extension through the programs that we administer. Now, the dollars that go out from CSREES to support research, education, and extension are distributed through formula funding, congressional line items, and competitive grant programs. And the competitive grant programs are what you're going to hear about today, and that's what you're all here. You're trying to learn how to be more successful with our programs. We have a lot of different programs at CSREES. This workshop is going to focus entirely on those programs where we support integrated research, education, and extension. And when we talk about, and that's integrated programs. Now, we're going to throw that kind of term around, integrated programs. And remember, when we say integrated programs, we really are referring to those where we're integrating research, education, and extension. And as the slide shows, that means those are those programs where we're integrating those different functional kinds of activities to address a problem. So what does optimal integration look like? Well, it's really kind of one of those things, you know it when you see it, but really in an essence, it's a project where the components are so fully integrated and so that you need all of them for the successful completion of the project. So for solving the problem, you need all of them. Let me talk for a minute about what I mean when I say research, education, and extension. It might seem obvious to you, but in the context of these integrated programs, the research is really meant to fill gaps in knowledge that are critical to solving the problem. So any research that's conducted through an integrated project really needs to be tightly focused on filling knowledge gaps and solving the problem. The education. Education should strengthen institutional capacity and curriculum and train the next generation. Let me just emphasize this notion of strengthening institutional capacity. Now that in many of our programs, so as many of you, some of you may know that the National Research Initiative is our largest competitive grant program. And the NRI has traditionally supported only research. And many folks have trained students on NRI research grants. And that's great. And that is educational, but we're looking for something more substantive in an integrated project. We're looking for, in an educational component, we're expecting that those educational activities will have some longevity, that they will do more than just train one or two or three students. And extension, what do we mean by extension? Well, it's the delivery of information to some targeted audience in such a way that it enables them to make better decisions. And we are expecting that extension will lead to measurable outcomes. So there'll be some impact that you can indeed measure and be able to report against. So very briefly, And in an integrated project, we're looking for these characteristics. We're looking for projects that are stakeholder-driven. So not investigator, not curiosity, you know, initiated, those kind, but really where the needs are there, they've been identified by stakeholders, where projects that are problem-focused, so really focused on solving some problem or at least making a lot of progress towards solving the problem, and outcome-oriented. And outcomes are very important. There really is an expectation at the end of an integrated project that something will be different, that something will be improved, and that you can measure how well you've reached that goal. So outcome-oriented, problem-focused, stakeholder-driven, these are three important characteristics. It's very different than thinking about a research project where the project itself is driven by the research questions. An integrated project is driven by the problem and driven by the need to solve the problem. I'm going to focus a little bit more on these outcomes. This is important for a lot of reasons. In Washington, D.C., we are, of course, asked to report on outcomes all the time. It's a very important part of what we have to do as an agency to continue receiving funding for our programs. We need to be able to report to Congress and the public on what those tax dollars have gone to support. We are... And in one of our programs, the National Research Initiative, which you're going to hear more about in a minute, we're going to actually be asking folks who submit integrated projects to the NRI to clearly articulate what the outcomes are. Now, there are, and the slide shows that there are these long-term outcomes, medium, short-term. And the expectation would be, if you were sending us an integrated project, that at the very least you would achieve some short-term outcomes, and that you would have identified those in your proposal, you would have a way to measure how well that you've reached those outcomes. So you can see short-term is a change in learning, and in that case you would just expect some targeted audience to know something now, to hold some opinion, to have some knowledge that they didn't have before. A little more ambitious than that would be those medium-term outcomes. So really searching for and striving for a change in action. So in this case, you would be looking to have folks in your targeted audience actually doing something differently. They've changed their behavior. They're implementing a new practice. They're making decisions differently than they were before. This is what we'd really love to see in the integrated projects that are submitted to the program. It's a little tougher. Our projects are only 3 to 4 years in length. You should definitely have some measurable outcomes that address the short-term learning outcomes. And ideally, you would have some medium-term outcomes that are associated with action. And you would have something in place that would cause people to be doing something differently. All focused, of course, on solving the problem. So this slide is a little reminder to you that an integrated program or an integrated project is more than just a multifunctional project. So you can have a project with a beautiful research component to it, and then, you know, you do research for 2.5 years, and then for the last 6 months, you might propose to put out some extension fact sheets or put up a website or have a workshop. Well, you know, that's a very kind of linear way of addressing it. First you do the research, then you do the extension. Our thinking is that a strong integrated project isn't going to look quite like that. In a strong integrated project, you're really going to have some feedback loops from all of the different functional areas. Now, I will talk to you a little bit about, you know, the different programs have different requirements for integrated projects. In the NRI, for example, which I'll talk to you about, you need to only include 2 of the 3 elements in your project. In other integrated programs, you need to include all three, research, education, and extension. So these are the programs that fall into the portfolio of our integrated programs. We have the Section 406 Integrated Research, Education, and Extension Program. We call it Section 406 because it was authorized in Section 406 of the 1998 Farm Bill. It has several different program areas. There's the National Integrated Food Safety Initiative, the National Integrated Water Quality Program, the Integrated Pest Management Programs, which include CAR, Crops at Risk, RAMP, Risk Assessment and Mitigation, and then IPM Centers. And I think I got RAMP wrong. Risk Avoidance and Mitigation. And the Methyl Bromide Transitions Program. You'll see that each of these are listed in a separate bullet. And that's to remind me to tell you that each of these programs are solicited for in an RFA. Each of those programs comes out in a separate RFA. For example, the National Integrated Food Safety Initiative is the only one of these programs that has released its FY 2008 fiscal year, 2008 RFA. So for all of those other programs on this slide, if you were to go onto our agency's website, you would see RFAs for those programs, but they would be for the previous fiscal year. If you're interested in those programs, I would suggest that you go ahead and look at last year's RFA. That's going to give you a lot of very good information. And under most circumstances, the programs do not change significantly from year to year. Sometimes they do, often they do not, but you can get a lot of good information by looking at the previous year's RFA and having a conversation with the national program leader if you have any questions. Usually there's a fairly short window of opportunity. By the time an RFA comes out, often proposals are called for within 4, 6, 8 weeks. Sometimes you have that little bit of time to get it together, to get your proposal together. So it really is to your benefit to start looking now and thinking about your proposal and speaking with the national program leader in charge of the program, and keeping an eye out for the current RFA and making sure that you do review it carefully when it's released. Other integrated programs that you need to be aware of are the Integrated Organic Program that comes out in a separate RFA, the Pest Management Alternatives Program, a separate RFA contains that program, and then there's the National Research Initiative, which is a very large program which has approximately 30 program areas. Now, 17 of those will support integrated work in fiscal year 2008. It will be important, and I'll run you through the list of NRI programs where these integrated opportunities exist. And it's going to be important for you to look carefully at the descriptions for those program areas and to know exactly what we're asking for. The NRI is again a very large program. It's a very large RFA, and each program area will say exactly what kinds of work it is looking to support. Some of the NRI programs are looking to support research only. Some are looking to support a combination of research and integrated work, and a few are looking to support integrated only work. And it'll be very important for you to make sure that you know what's what and that you are very clearly addressing a stated priority of the program. So I'm going to run you through the Section 406 programs very briefly. As I stated, authorized in the 1998 Farm Bill, these programs have been administered since fiscal year 2000. To be eligible to apply to one of these programs, you need to be with a college or university that gives at least a four-year degree. Also, 1994 land-grant institutions are also eligible to apply. Funding for this program has stayed right around $42 million for much of the life of the program. And as I mentioned, there's the National Integrated Food Safety Initiative, which broadly addresses a number of food safety issues, ranging from production and post-harvest issues to food selection, preparation, consumption. A lot of different areas are covered in that program. There's about $13 million available. And Dr. Jan Singleton is the program contact. For those of you who've received the CD, for those of you who've walked in a little later, we do have a CD that we're providing for today's workshop that has all of these presentations and the same information available on it. The National Integrated Water Quality Program addresses ag-related degradation of water quality. There's about $13 million available there. Dr. Mike O'Neill is the national program leader. The integrated pest management programs do include CAR, Crops at Risk, which it's supporting the development and implementation of new IPM systems that are really focused on a single a crop, about $1.5 million for that program, and Dr. Rick Meyer is the NPL. RAMP is Risk Avoidance and Mitigation, $4.5 million there. Robert Nowerski is the national program leader. And this program also is looking to develop and implement new IPM strategies, but based on multi-cropping systems or on systems that are, or area-wide or landscape-scale work. The regional pest management centers are funded every 4 years. We have four different regions that we provide funding for a center in. And those were competed last fiscal year, and Dr. Mike Fitzner is the national program leader in charge of those. And there's the methyl bromide transitions program, which is just what it sounds like. We're looking to support work to deal with integrated pest management issues associated with really the phasing out of methyl bromide. And there's $3 million there, and Bill Hoffman is the national program leader in charge of that program now. Some of you might have known Dr. Jim Green, who managed that program for several years. And Bill Hoffman will be managing it from this point forward. There's the Integrated Organic Program, which deals with issues associated with the organic production or the transition to organic production. Dr. Tom Buick manages that program, about a little over $4.5 million there. And Dr. Buick is at the meeting here today and probably will come back into the workshop later. And there's the Pest Management Alternatives Program, which is focused on also IPM systems that are focused on specific pest issues. About $1.5 million there. And Dr. Monty Johnson is the national program leader. Moving on to the National Research Initiative, this is the agency's largest competitive grant program. It funds both research and integrated work. We have, so we do support fundamental and mission-linked research as well as integrated research, education, and extension. The program has about $190 million. And the NRI's been around a really long time, and for most of the time it's supported research only. But since fiscal year 2003, Congress has given us the legal authority to support both research and integrated work. So, as I pointed out, the NRI's a big program, it's a big RFA, and we have these two, and we make awards under these two different legal authorities, the research authority, the integrated authority. And it's important that you know the eligibility and some of the other requirements for the projects, for research versus integrated projects. The eligibility to apply for an integrated project it's very broad. It's almost anyone, federal research labs, federal research agencies, national labs, colleges, universities, other private research organizations, and state ag experiment stations. Matching is required here only when a project is commodity specific and not of national scope. For the integrated projects, you will submit a single proposal type, just the integrated project proposal, And but we give two award types. If you are, we can give an integrated project award or a bridge grant. And a bridge grant is kind of our strengthening award, and I have a slide on that here in a second. For the NRI, you need to send us projects where you're integrating two of the three functional components. So it can be teaching and research. It can be teaching and extension. Or it can be extension and research. So really, any two of the three. Folks seem to think that if there's no research in the project, that the NRI won't look at it. That's not true. In fact, I encourage folks to send us projects that are extension-led or teaching-led. In other words, where the teaching or the extension is really the centerpiece of the project. We are looking for those kinds of projects. We're still getting, every now and then someone sends us a very nice extension teaching or extension education project, and we're happy to support those, obviously, when they're of high quality. We don't get very many. So think broadly. Don't allow yourselves to think that if there's no research there or that the project won't be considered or if the research isn't really the major activity. Send us a good, solid, problem-solving proposal, and we'll be happy to consider it. And a bridge grant is provided for those applicants who are in a small, mid-sized, or minority-serving institution who send us a project that's pretty good but not quite good enough. This is a way for us to give you up to $100,000 so that you can conduct some activities for a year or two that will make you more competitive when you come back again with a full proposal. We have a project type in the NRI that's called a Coordinated Agricultural Project, a CAP. And we have, I think, in fiscal year 2008, only three program areas that offer CAP awards. These are very large awards, and they're meant to really bring together a community of scientists to address a specific issue. We have CAPs in animal biosecurity, applied plant genomics, and then arthropods and nematodes program has one that's focused on managed bees. We also will support conference proposals through the NRI, and generally we won't give you more than $10,000 or $20,000 for a conference, and that's because the expectation is that you will have received funding from several sources for your conference. But this is a good opportunity I'd encourage you to consider. In fiscal year 2008, the NRI has implemented a couple of changes. For the integrated projects, we do ask you to provide us with the elements of a logic model. Now, if you're familiar with logic models and you want to go ahead and use the logic model chart, that's great. If you're not familiar with it, you don't like that notion, provide this information in narrative form. But it's very important for you to tell us what are those measurable outcomes that you will be achieving through your project, and what are the activities that will directly lead to those measurable outcomes, and then what are the outputs or the deliverables from those activities. It's pretty basic stuff. Don't let the terminology put you off. We have resources on our agency's website that'll help you understand how to do this. And you get two extra pages in your proposal, so in order to provide us with this information. So do spend some time doing that. The logic model is a very good planning tool. I think it will help you really organize your thoughts so that your project will indeed achieve the things that you want it to achieve. So since it's a planning tool, you should use it early. Don't write it up as the last thing that you put into your proposal. You really use it for planning. Now, another new requirement for this year is related to your budget. We've put a requirement in that you may spend no more than 2/3 of your budgeted dollars on any single functional area. So if you have a research and extension project that you're submitting to us, you can't spend more than two-thirds of your money on either the research or the extension. So we're really, and we put this requirement in to encourage applicants to take a more balanced approach to their budgets. We were seeing a lot of budgets that were coming in that were highly skewed to a single kind of activity, usually research, and leaving almost no dollars, no time, no effort toward the teaching or the extension. And this is meant to send a message to encourage you all to really send us well-balanced projects with substantive functional elements within them. The National Research Initiative is, again, there are about 30 program areas. The RFA is arranged, it's organized by clusters. So if you were to flip through it, you would see that we have these four program cluster areas within the NRI. And within each of those clusters, there are a number of program areas. So, for example, under the Ag Genomics and Biosecurity cluster, you see some programs here. Now, all of these programs offer money for integrated work. So there's money in animal genomics, animal protection, animal biosecurity for integrated work. And, in fact, there's $21 million that we're offering through this cluster area. The cluster area includes these programs as well, plant biosecurity, applied plant genomics, and the protection of managed bees program. So there are quite a few program areas in this cluster that offer integrated opportunities and quite a lot of money. In the ag production and value-added processing cluster, these three program areas offer integrated opportunities, the animal reproduction, animal growth, and plant breeding and education under the plant biology program. There is a little over $2 million offered through those three programs. In nutrition, food safety, and quality, there's $12.5 million being offered. And these are the program areas, bioactive food components, human nutrition and obesity, and improving food quality and value. The human nutrition and obesity program, I'll draw your attention to as a program. It's got about $10 million for integrated work. This is a very large program for integrated work within the NRI. Now within the agroecosystems and rural prosperity cluster, we have three program areas, air quality, which offers quite a lot of money for integrated work, and Dr. Knighton is here today. Managed ecosystems, Dr. Jerkins will be here in the room shortly, and the biology of weedy and invasive species. So a little over $16.5 million there. So the opportunities for integrated work are sort of distributed across program areas within the NRI, and which is good news and bad news. It means you have to kind of, we try not to make you search for them too hard. There's a section in the front of the RFA where we list those programs with the integrated opportunities to help you find them, and the good news is there are really a lot of different opportunities for integrated work. Oh, and then... rural development and ag prosperity for small and medium-sized farms are a part of the agroecosystems cluster as well, and they offer, both of those programs, in fact, offer 100% of their dollars for integrated work. So, that finishes up my presentation, and I'm running a little late, so I think are there any quick questions?